Please do be seated. And if you have a church Bible in front of you, if you'd like to turn back to page 485, we're in Nehemiah chapter 1. And in the first part, we looked at Nehemiah's prayer. And now I want to look at another aspect, another thread that goes through this passage, which is how he discerned the call to serve God. How he discerned that summons to a specific task that was his task in God's service, the rebuilding of Jerusalem's walls. This week I came across a delightful story about a man's willingness to serve, willingness or perhaps otherwise, to serve his neighbour in need. The man and his wife were woken up at 3 a.m. by loud pounding at the door. The man gets up and goes to the door, and there is a drunken stranger standing in the pouring rain asking for a push. "Not a chance," says the husband. "It's 3 in the morning." Slams the door, goes back to bed. "Who was that?" asked his wife. "Oh, just some drunk guy asking for a push," he said. "Well, did you help him?" she asked. "No, I did not. It's 3 in the morning and it's pouring with rain." "Well, you have a short memory," said his wife. "Can't you remember 3 months ago when we broke down, those two guys helped us by giving us a push? I think you should help him, and I think you should be ashamed of yourself." The man does as he's told. Gets dressed, goes out in the pouring rain, and he calls out in the dark, "Hello, are you still there?" "Yes," comes back the answer. "Do you still need a push?" "Yes, please." "Where are you?" "Over here, on the swing." Okay, getting serious again. We've moved on 150 years from where we were last week when Jerusalem was sacked and the Jews were carried off into exile in Babylon. By the time of today's passage in Nehemiah chapter 1, a small number of the Jews have returned from exile, but Jerusalem is still in ruins. It's still a pile of rubble. The year is around 445 BC. And the action has moved from Babylon, where they ended up last week, which is kind of central in modern-day Iraq, down south and eastwards a bit to Susa, near the border with modern-day Iran. And that's the home of the Medes and the Persians, because in that 150 years they've conquered the Babylonians. And some of the Jews have gone from Babylon to Susa. And a Jew called Nehemiah is cupbearer to the king of the Medes and Persians, which means that he got to taste the king's wine before it was given to the king. So that if the wine was poisoned, somebody trying to kill the king, well, it would be Nehemiah who keeled over and died and not the king. So it was a dangerous job. Not without, perhaps, its perks along the way. Short-lived, though, it might be. The return from exile had been a slow trickle of Jews going back to Jerusalem over a period of 80-plus years. But Jerusalem was still in a mess. It lay in ruins. The walls were broken down. The gates were burned. And we've still got another 450 years to go before Jesus arrives as the saviour of Israel to restore their relationship with God. But Israel, or Judah to be more precise at this stage, is still in exile. Nehemiah is the man who gets Judah back up and running, as it were, by rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, by rebuilding the morale of the people who lived there. But at the time of this reading, at the beginning of his book, he's still in Susa, acting as the cupbearer to the king. Like every believer in the New Testament or the Old, Nehemiah was called to believe in God and serve him with his life. He acknowledges this twice in verse 6 and 11. He calls himself, when talking to God, he calls himself your servant. Your servant. We're all called not just to believe, but also to serve. For example, Deuteronomy 10:12. Now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. We're all called as servants. It's calling on all of God's people in all times and in all places. But then, as well as that general calling to all of us, we are summoned by God to specific tasks in specific places at specific times. Nehemiah chapter 1 and going on into chapter 2 is about Nehemiah discerning that summons from God to a specific task in a specific place at a specific time. And it's useful to consider the steps in Nehemiah's discernment of this call to serve, so that we can learn better to hear God's summons to us for specific tasks in this place, in this time. So, what do we learn about Nehemiah's call? What led him from that routine, if somewhat dangerous, palace job, to the hazards of being Jerusalem's governor, rebuilder, morale raiser, events organizer, leader? And most importantly and fundamentally, as we saw from the first part of our service this morning, it's all bathed in prayer. We looked at that prayer, specific prayer, in our first part, so I'm not going to go there again. But it's not just about that one prayer from verse 5 onwards. It's all, if you go back just into the previous verse, for some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of Israel, and then God of heaven, and then I said, we get the specific prayer. So it's all bathed in prayer. But what else can we note about his discernment process? Well, first of all, he was dedicated to God's service. As I said, twice he acknowledges, I am your servant, your servant. He acknowledges that general call that I was talking about on all believers to serve with his life. His day job might be as a servant of King Artaxerxes. I knew I was going to stumble over that. But he knew that his life job was serving a different king, the King of Heaven. And the way of all servants is to ask, in the words that Paul used on the road to Damascus at his conversion, what shall I do, Lord? What should I do? So my question is, have you acknowledged that as a Christian, besides being called to believe, you are called to serve? Secondly, Nehemiah was listening out. He was listening to the need. Verse 2, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. Verse 4, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. He had listened and taken it on board. He wanted to know how things were back in Jerusalem. He had never lived there. It's 150 years since his own forebears had lived there. But his heart was still drawn there. But the news from Jerusalem was bad. The walls were still down. The gates were charred ruins. Morale was at rock bottom. He listened to the need, but recognizing a need is not a call in itself, though it can be the occasion for a call. The opportunity to hear God's voice whispering to our soul about our part in responding to a need. But we're not the answer to every need. We're not God. We couldn't possibly answer every need that we're aware of. But unless we're aware of needs, we'll not be open to a call from God to be his channel for meeting those needs, those specific tasks at a specific place at a specific time that he says, this has got your name on it. Thirdly, Nehemiah wanted to know how things were in Jerusalem because he cared about God's honour. He was concerned for God's name, for God's cause. Verse 4, when I heard about these things, I sat down and wept for some days. I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He cared. At the heart of our Paraclesis Journeying Together series that we had earlier this term was the question, who cares? And we saw that our response, genuine Christian care, has to be rooted in the compassion of Jesus, in showing the compassion of Jesus. If that is not in us, then our response is just a duty and a chore, and it's not bringing glory to God. Nehemiah cared. And then Nehemiah did not operate alone. You have to look carefully for this, but he shared his burden with others. Look into verse 11, when he is towards the end of his prayer. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Who are your servants who delight in revering your name if it wasn't others there with him as he prayed? He prayed with others. A call to a task should be tested by others in the body of Christ. Sharing the burdens that God places on our hearts enables us to hear others clarify God's call through what they say, through what they discern about what God's saying to us. It enables them to pray and to be part of that discernment process. And then Nehemiah's prayer was persistent. It seems that it continued over quite a period of time. Beginning of chapter 1, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year. Beginning of chapter 2, which is where the prayer gets answered, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes. Not a calendar that we're over familiar with, but Kislev to Nisan is roughly equivalent to December to April. So we're talking about 4 months. About 4 months. 4 months that Nehemiah was praying and not getting an answer. Was he praying each day? Give your servant success today, and then waiting to see if God answered that. And if not, then next day, give your servant success today. He was actually asking for the near impossible. Remember who he was. He was a foreign slave as far as this king was concerned. The request was that the king would release him from service and equip him to journey back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city. Just put yourself in Nehemiah's shoes for a moment. Would you give yourself any hope of that being answered? What an enormous, bold prayer this was, that a king whose slave you were, and the slave really meant a slave, he was disposable because his life was disposable because it was protecting the king, would actually ask to be released from bondage to slavery in order to rebuild a city 1,000 miles away. He hadn't got any rights whatsoever in front of this king. So the prayer wasn't just persistent, it was very bold. Isaiah wrote, prophesied in Isaiah 62, "You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth." Well, Jerusalem was in ruins, nowhere near being the praise of the earth. But Nehemiah and his friends do just that. They call on the Lord. They gave themselves no rest. And they gave God no rest until he answered. Even though God's people, Nehemiah and his friends, are asking the right prayer, they're praying what's on God's heart, God still keeps them waiting for an answer. I know that I'm not good at being persistent in prayer. I give up far too easily if an answer doesn't come. Nehemiah was persistent and bold. And the final component of Nehemiah's discerning God's call was circumstantial confirmation. Something that he recognised when God gave him the opportunity that he'd been asking for. Let's look into chapter 2. "In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I'd not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, 'Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of the heart.' I was very much afraid." Remember, this is a really powerful man, king over a very extensive empire. "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it you want?" That's the moment that God answers Nehemiah's prayer. And notice his next response, his immediate response. "Then I prayed to the God of heaven." Quick arrow prayer. I shouldn't think it was much more than help. "And I answered the king, 'If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favour in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my fathers are buried so that I can rebuild it.'" This is a slave asking a king. "Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, 'How long will your journey take and when will you get back?' It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time." God gave Nehemiah the opening, and after that really quick arrow prayer, he stepped out in faith. He went for it. God gave him probably, you know, half a second to decide, So what have we learnt about God's summons of Nehemiah to this specific task at a specific time in a specific place? It was bathed in prayer and out of a servant heart. Nehemiah listened to a concern for the honour of God's name and cared. Together with others, he persisted in prayer, and when God brought the opening, he stepped out in faith. So how might we apply those principles today? The most fundamental challenge is to develop a servant heart that is bathed in prayer. Jesus, though he was the Son of God, though he was God incarnate, Jesus said that he had come to serve and not to be served. As we consider what it is to be made in God's image, we see in Jesus that God's image is that of a servant. Those of us who've signed up to the Bible Society's Advent Challenge were yesterday challenged to put others first, to show humility and serve others. In the words of Philippians 2:3, in humility to consider others better than yourself. And one of the three optional challenges was to help in a new role in church. And I wanted to spend some time this morning thinking about Nehemiah's summons to his specific task, because I'd like us each to consider whether the Lord might be summoning us to a specific task in this specific place, at this specific time at St. Mary's. We're all called to serve the Lord wholeheartedly in whatever we do, but I want to set before you this morning several specific needs that we might all be praying together as to how the Lord would meet those needs and who within us he's specifically summoning to those tasks. I don't want to lay any additional burdens on anyone who's already serving wholeheartedly and to their capacity. So I'd also like this morning to be a celebration of all that goes on and all who serve this church family in so many ways. But we are faced with two new main areas of need this morning, both rooted in our mission statement to make disciples, to reach wider, to go deeper. And the first relates to our pastoral care, both of one another and of those we meet on our front lines. This term, we've completed that Paraclesis Journeying Together series, looking at God's call to come alongside others in times of need. And the key verse was from 2 Corinthians. God comes alongside us when we go through hard times. Before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times, that we might be there for that person just as God was there for us. And fundamentally, that's a calling that we all have, as we found as we did Paraclesis, to come alongside those that God places on our heart, whether that's here in church or out on our front line, wherever we rub shoulders with those who don't yet believe. But as a church, we need a safety net to catch those whose needs are not being met in that way. And Judy Golby is heading up a new pastoral care team that we're establishing to get involved with those who otherwise are not being cared for. And she needs to build up a team of those willing to be involved perhaps in a slightly more organised manner, whether that's home visiting, hospital visiting, whatever. And there are other places which naturally create opportunities to draw alongside others if our eyes are open, if our hearts are open to the need. Time out, fresh at 10, Thirsty Thursday, being a welcomer, serving refreshments. And the second area of our needs relates to our reaching wider to younger families. Be aware that Messy Church is our main vehicle for that. And so far, the Messy Church congregation has been quite separate, meeting on a Sunday afternoon. Sunday afternoons, we found, don't work well for a regular commitment for younger families. The opportunities for going deeper through a Messy Church format are very limited. So we've had a small working party thinking about this over this term, trying to work out how we might bring the Messy Church congregation to worship with the Sunday morning congregation. Increasing opportunities for us to reach wider to young families, increasing opportunities for them to go deeper with the Lord. And the plan is to retain the structure of Sunday morning life as it is, but from January, once a month, alongside this talk stream, rather than having a mosaic stream, to have a messy stream. Now, the talk stream will probably need to be in the meeting place or garden fields, and the messy stream in here. The first part of the service that morning will still include all that we recognise in Sunday morning life. So still include sung worship, a Bible reading, activities, talk and prayers. At times we might have baptisms in that part too. The format will be very, very familiar. though we'll be need to be aware of being more accessible to younger children, perhaps. One thing that happens at Messy Church that's a blessing there that the rest of the church doesn't get is that they always have a church family meal together at the end of their gathering, an opportunity for fellowship over a relaxed meal. So when we have Sunday Morning Live with Messy Church, we'll have a light lunch together at the end of that morning. Now, why I'm talking about this right now and in the context of Nehemiah is that this format will create extra opportunities to serve. In fact, it will not work if we don't have extra people coming forward to serve. It's service that directly relates to our core mission and purpose as a church, to make disciples of all ages, to reach wider, particularly to young families in this case, to go deeper in service and love of the Lord. Many of the tasks that are necessary don't require preparation or only a little, but they do require willingness to serve others from time to time, not every month. Time to time. Maybe being willing to help with food preparation or moving tables and chairs around. Maybe being on the lookout for being welcoming of young families in our midst. And that's something I'm pleased to say does happen already at St. Mary's, but it's something that makes a big difference to anybody coming in, and we need to be consistent and we need to all be part of that. It may be committing to pray regularly for the growth of God's kingdom amongst young families. It may be being prepared to join a cleaning team. You know, we have a number of teams that quietly get on in the background week by week so that when we come in on the Sunday morning, the chairs are in the right place, the building's clean, and it's welcoming. But that only happens because people behind the scenes serve us. I've this morning created a response form. Val, could I ask you to just distribute them on this side and Simon on this side? Just so that we are aware of what some of the specific tasks in a specific place at a specific time are. Some of them on there are things that we already do, but we just need some extra people to step up to the plate. All of those things just about are happening already. And as I say, I'd like us to celebrate all the quiet acts of service that go on at St. Mary's already. There's a column on there for you to tick to show that you're already serving in this area. And that's just, I just want to affirm you and thank you for all those things which you do, because many of us are serving in a whole different range of ways already. But we each also need to be open to God's summons to serve in new ways in this community, to be open to what God is whispering into our hearts as we become aware of the needs. Let's respond to how we see Nehemiah's discernment of God's summons to his specific task. Bathed in prayer and out of a servant heart, he listened to a need with a concern and compassion. And together with others, he persisted in prayer. And when God brought the opening, he stepped out in faith and took it. Let's prayerfully seek the Lord's heart and follow the openings that he puts in front of us with our name on it. As I say, we're not all called to do everything. We're not necessarily all called to take on anything new. But there are things that the Lord will put his finger on to say, this has got your name on it. just want to give a few moments of silence for you to just read through that and ask the Lord to speak to us as you do. It may be that even now the Lord is making it very clear what he is asking of you at this stage. And if so, then please just fill it in. And when we sing our last song in a few moments, come and place it on the plate and the table in front of me here. But for most of us, I think we'll need to take that form away. And can I suggest you... when you get home, don't just put it in the place where all the papers go. Put it in your Bible. And each time you open your Bible this week, just ask the Lord, Lord, is there something here for me? Remember, Nehemiah's prayer was persistent. He prayed for 4 months before God gave him the opening. And then when you hear what God's saying, bring it back and put it in the plate next week. Maybe you know that you're up to capacity and there's nothing more that you can do. And you just want to celebrate what you're doing already. By all means, just fill it in and put it in the plate this morning or next week as an act of just rejoicing in being able to serve the Lord. Let's pray together.